Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International.
Today we're going to be talking about ways to keep our love alive in our marriages, and that's a very exciting topic. So we hope you have a pencil and paper, because we're going to be looking at some simple things that we can do, every one of us can do, to keep our love alive.
It's fun keeping love alive, isn't it?
It is.
You know, and God's Word actually talks about how to keep love alive. And probably one of the ways that our viewers might not have thought of this, in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 9th verse, it says that we need to live joyfully with the wife that God has given us. Does that keep love alive?
Yes, it does, dear. I'm always happy when you live joyfully with me.
Yes, and you're a joy to live with. You know, there's no one that I'd rather spend time with than my wife. How does that make you feel?
Very special.
Does that help keep love alive?
Absolutely. I feel the same way about you. You know that.
So today we're going to be talking about 6 ways that we can keep love alive. And you know, there's dozens of ways that we can do it, and things that we've done over the years that have really kept love alive for us and keep it growing. It's not just enough to keep it alive. It needs to be alive and well,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's growing. Right. To me, being alive is healthy and vibrant and growing. That's what life is. It's something that grows. We have a plant and it's alive. It's not stagnant. It grows.
That's
and that's
right.
The way our marriages need to be.
So we're going to talk about 6 very simple, not costly, ways. Now, we could talk about more, but we're going to talk about ways that nobody really has an excuse not to use. Now, you might have your own ways of keeping love alive, and that's fine. But if you do, maybe you'll add 2 with some of the things that we're doing.
First one that we saw very important was little attentions often. It's interesting, when we were first courting, it wasn't hard to do all kind of things that made us know that we were thinking about each other. But sometimes when we get into life and we get into routine and we get into the pressures and our own desires, those little things can quietly get left out.
Not even intentionally.
Not intentionally.
You know, sometimes it is just so many things that push their way into life that try to smother keeping love alive. You know, one of the things that I've always appreciated when we're talking about the little things is the little notes that you give me when I'm going to be gone. Those little notes, I've come to expect them when I go. And sometimes I'll give you little notes, but I'm not as good at it as you are. Those little notes keep love alive. A little note in the lunch that you've prepared for me when I'm on the airplane and I open it up, and I'm not disappointed if, you know, it's not there every time, but I've come to expect that there's going to be something there. When I unpack my suitcase, I expect that I'm going to find a little note tucked here and there. When I open my Bible to have my quiet time, I expect that there'll be a little note that keeps love alive. And keeping love alive means that it makes me look forward to coming home.
It also keeps my thoughts on you. I'm already anticipating your return before you ever leave, and I'm writing my thoughts simply of what I'm going to be doing with my time in your absence, whether it's just for the day, for a few hours, or for a week, or however long it may be. It's a simple thing. That's what Luke 16:10 talks about. He that is faithful in that which is least, the little things, will be faithful also in much. And I think that can really apply to our marriages. If we're faithful in the little things in our marriage to keep love alive, we're going to be faithful in the bigger areas of our marriage where the temptations may come, but we don't have to fall to those temptations. One of the greatest things I enjoy is making sure that when you leave or when you come home, I am there to either give you a goodbye kiss, a goodbye hug, or a greeting. And in my heart, it keeps my love alive for you, and I know you like it too, and I always look forward to you standing in the window when I have to leave, even to go to town for a few hours, and you're in the window waving goodbye, or when you hear me or anticipate me and you know when I'm going to be coming home, that I see you out the side of the house around the corner, and then you give me a little wave to greet me back. That's very, very special.
You know, I think what we want to emphasize to each of our viewing audience is it doesn't have to be complicated. It's the little things. And you know, if you'll stop and think, and we don't do enough reflecting sometimes, the sum of life's happiness is made up in the little things. It's not the big things that make up life. It's the little daily things that we might even say are monotonous sometimes. But if we want to keep our love alive, we need those little things like that. I know that making the bed, making our bed, you know, is a little thing. And yet, you never expect that I do that. Mm-hmm. It's never been my job to make our bed, but often because my desk is there in our bedroom, and that's where I spend a lot of my time during the day, that's often something that I want to do because you've got so many other things to do. So making the bed is just a little thing that I like to do for us.
And I really appreciate that. And it's interesting, on the days that it's not made, I never feel like, oh, I wonder how come you didn't make it today. I never have that expectation that you make the bed after 25 years. If it's not made, I joyfully do it. But when it's made, it's very special, even after 25 years.
Yes.
The little ways that we can express that love. One of the things you do that I really like, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? You put on cologne for me almost every day.
Yeah, and I think about you, and when I put that cologne on, that's often why, you know, when we're out traveling, I'm not always as faithful to put it on because I'm just out among the people. But when I'm thinking of you, I'm doing that for you. It's a little thing to keep love alive.
And I know that, and I really like that. And I make sure that your supply never runs out.
That's right. You know, some people listening, viewing right now, may not necessarily feel like doing anything to keep love alive. Can we go on our feelings?
No, they're not safe.
They're never safe. They're never safe. Feelings are not a safe guide. And so we want to encourage you that even if you don't feel like doing some of the little things that keep love alive, you can make a choice. And that choice will be so much better if that choice is made under the inspiration of Jesus Christ. If you will allow him to give you ideas. Sometimes I just ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do for my wife? And he'll give me ideas, doesn't he, dear?
Yes, sometimes I'm very surprised at some of the ideas that the Lord gives you. And we can't go by our feelings.
That's right.
If we do, especially those negative ones, we're destined to fail.
That's right. So if a man out there, for example, right now is listening, and he just got so much going on, he's got so much pressure, can he keep love alive even if he doesn't feel like he has time to do it?
Absolutely. It's the littlest things that can happen that will keep it alive. And one of the greatest ways he can keep it alive in a little thing, which leads us to point number two, is communication. If he calls his wife on his cell phone for 2 minutes and even leaves a message, or when he gets to work, honey, I'm at work, I was thinking of you on my way into work today, that would make a huge difference in her day.
That's right.
A huge difference in our day. And so those little things lead us to better communication, which is the second point of keeping our love alive, communication daily.
Amen. So is that going to happen spontaneously? Is that just, you know, everybody just has lots of time to communicate, so just going to be there for us?
It wasn't that way for us. Well, I should say we have time to talk about what we want to talk about with who we want to talk with.
That's right.
We really do. It really comes back to making a choice. And the whole experience of marriage and having a marriage heart to heart is all about our choices. That's really the Christian experience. Mm-hmm. And so for us, communication became very important, because I really had time to talk to who I wanted to talk to about what I wanted to talk about, even if I had to stay up late at night, get up early in the morning. And so I have shifted my need for communication and my communication, what I want to share with you. And that has made a big difference.
Does it make you feel like you're important to me when I take time to communicate with you?
Always. It doesn't matter what I want to talk about. If you give me your time, I feel that I'm important to you. And if I feel I'm important to you, and I sense that from you, then my love for you grows, and I know your love for me grows as well.
That's right. You know, one of the other things that, in communication that's important, and sometimes we can take it for granted, that is expressing appreciation. I look for opportunities to express appreciation for the things that Elaine does in our home. When we sit down at the meal table and we offer the blessing, I like to express my appreciation to her, and it's part of what we do in our home that I give her a little kiss when I finish the prayer or whoever's praying. And it's an expression of, I'm thinking that I care for you, I appreciate what you're doing. It's nice to be appreciated, and those little appreciations go a long way in communication.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that has really been good for us in our communication, and I have to say that you lead in this, is often you'll invite me out for a little walk, because I can be consumed by everything in the house I have to get done.
That's right.
But you'll say, honey, why don't we go for a walk? And I'm really not motivated to go out and walk for the sake of walking. Now I enjoy it once I get out there, if I can put aside all the other things I have to do. But I'm motivated because I know it's time with you, that you are a captive audience.
Yes, our walk and talk time has become very special. And again, we just want to encourage you. You may think you're too busy. I tell you, I never run out of things to do in this ministry work that God's called us to. And I don't think you ever run out of things to do, do you?
Never run out of things to do.
So one of the problems that we all face in keeping love alive is making time to communicate, making time to do those little attentions. Whatever it is, we need to make time. It won't just happen spontaneously. So if you want to keep love alive, then we're going to be taking a break. We want you to stay with us, and we're going to talk about a few more things that we can do to keep love alive. The next thing we're going to talk about is time for each other, how we spend that time. So stay with us. Making love alive. Welcome back. We've been talking about keeping love alive, and I know that you want to keep your love alive. So, honey, what other ways can we keep love alive?
Taking time for each other. That was very easy to do. It's very easy to do at the beginning of a marriage or a relationship, but when we get into life with the pressures of work, the pressure of education, the pressures of raising a family, the pressures of even our own hobbies or sports or entertainments, we find we lose time for each other. When we lose time for each other, we lose communication, and we start to lose touch with each other.
That's right.
So taking time, we have to carve it out.
That's right. And I found that I thought that I was taking enough time, and I realized that it was being swallowed up by everything else. It was being swallowed up by my employment. You know, when we were first married, trying to be involved in my career, taking time to do all the church work that we're involved in. And there's nothing wrong with being involved in good things. Certainly there's nothing wrong with being involved in church work. But take a little self-test. Take a little inventory. And that's what we did. That's what I did as a man, as a husband, as a father. I began to realize that I was investing so much time, even in good things, even things for the Lord, and I started finding out that I didn't have time for the Lord. so busy doing things for the Lord that I didn't have time for the Lord. What a sad state of affairs. But it was true. I was so pushed, and I didn't have time for you. I didn't have time for the children. And so, as you know, I began to do what I called the add, subtract, and invest. Every time I looked at adding something else into my schedule, I said, where am I going to subtract? And you know what I found out? A very interesting thing. Whenever I added more things into my life, always two areas that I saw subtracting automatically. Time with God, because I was tired, getting to bed later, didn't want to get up as early. Time with God started to go, and time for my wife and children. Mm-hmm. And I said, something's wrong with this, didn't I, honey?
Yeah, so did I. Something's wrong with this.
Something's not right here. So I looked at this. If I'm going to add, let's be realistic about where I'm going to subtract. And where do I really want to invest my time? Add, subtract, invest. And I tell you, I started making some commitments to the Lord about where I was going to spend my time. And I wanted to be able to give a reasonable amount of time to my employment. I wanted to be able to give a reasonable amount of time to my church family. And I wanted to be able to give a reasonable amount of time to my family and to my Lord. And I tell you, to start to bring those things into balance was not an easy thing. And the Lord began to show me where I could start cutting out of my life. And one of the areas that I really had to deal with was my sports. I was very involved in sports, and I needed to deal with that area. And I began to do that, to invest it in my family and in the Lord. And I tell you, I've never regretted that decision.
And neither have I. Taking time, it makes us, our marriages grow, it makes them healthier, happier, and in taking time to plan to do things with each other or as a family.
That's right.
That's very important. That's one of the things we do in our time together is we plan simple things that are going to be highlights in our family, like maybe planning a camping trip, something very simple, doesn't cost a lot of money to go to a park and pitch a tent. It may be as simple as planning a picnic, but taking time to plan together makes life stay interesting for us.
That's right, which leads us into the next area. And number four is keeping love alive by anticipation. Isn't anticipation great?
I love to anticipate time with you.
You know, sometimes we think of anticipation for things that are out there, and we can make the anticipation happen in here, in the marriage, in the family. And so it's great to be able to take the time to plan things that we can anticipate, special things that we can look forward to that we will plan together. So here we have communication, we're taking time, and now we're creating anticipation. You know, when you think about whatever you're looking forward to, or you think about your children, what they anticipate, looking forward to something special ahead, anticipation is a part of keeping love alive.
And then when it happens, it builds memories. And the memories are long. It's all the planning memories, the fun you had planning it together, doing it together, and then living it again together in our memories. And that's very, very special. Anticipation. You know, if we anticipated our husband's return from work every day, we might have a different marriage in our home. If we anticipated to receive our husband back with happiness and joy, looking forward to his return, it has made a huge difference in our marriage.
Yes.
It can be that simple, anticipating what it's going to be like, you know, when we're together again at the end of the day.
Yes, and that's one of the things, you know, as you were saying that, the little things. I always looked forward and still look forward to coming home. I'm thankful that the Lord's given us the opportunity to minister together. So, you know, as a family, we travel together and we minister together. But I always look forward to coming home. But one of the things that you did that was a little thing, but it was important, is how you took care of yourself. You know, a lot of wives today, a lot of people that we know, that we've heard stories about, you know, they dress up great for church, they dress up for their occasions, they look great, but what are they like at home? And you not that you dressed up in your church best, but you took care of yourself, and you do take care of yourself, and you keep me anticipating coming home to you. And that's keeping love alive.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to it every time you come home. I don't look forward to you having to leave. I do look forward to you coming home. Another thing that we found very effective in our marriage to keeping love alive is to pray together.
Right.
We've prayed separately, we pray together in worship, but now we take a special time every day and we don't miss it for anything. No matter how late it is, or if we're separated, even on the phone, we'll communicate and we'll pray together. That helps to keep our love alive.
That's
and
right.
I really appreciated those special prayer times together.
And they have been very special and continue to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keeping love alive is not just thinking of the marriage. You know, as we have prayed more together, it has grown our relationship to keep our love alive mm-hmm. for our Heavenly Father.
That's right.
We have seen more of what He is doing for us and what Christ is continuing to do for us. Not just what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, but what Christ is doing for us day by day. So not only is it keeping our love alive, but it's keeping our love alive with our Heavenly mm-hmm. Father. And we talked about this in one of our other programs, Prayers
of Love,
mm-hmm. where we talked about it in more detail. But if you are not praying together with the one that God has given you to stand by your side, if you find yourself even saying right now, well, I don't even feel like praying with that person, I'm just keeping my distance. Here again, don't go on the feelings that you have. Maybe that's exactly what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what the wife needs or the husband needs, is one of you to say, you know, we need to close our day together in prayer. And maybe that'll open up for you a new love, rekindle that first love that may have been lost to begin to keep love alive.
Mm-hmm. The other thing we've done during that prayer time is to recount the blessings of the day.
Yes.
And talk about those. And that keeps our love alive. Again, for our Heavenly Father, but for each other and for the family and for our friends and our extended family.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's plan.
That's right.
So it's been a real blessing in our home. The sixth area that we want to talk about is daily affection. That will help keep love alive too. You know, it's interesting that when you're courting, oh, you just can't wait until you have that first held hand or that first time he puts his arm around you or that first kiss. They're all very special. But they can be just as special every day.
That's right.
Little affections, ways we express affection daily to one another will help keep our love alive.
That's right. And, you know, the thought that keeps coming back to me is, maybe these people out here some of them don't feel like it.
We haven't always felt like it
That's
ourselves
right.
at times.
But what's so important is that we can choose.
Mm-hmm.
We choose to do so many other things. I mean, don't you have days when you don't feel like going to work? See, what do? Well, I hope you don't just not show up. No, you go to work because you need to do it, because you need employment, you need to have an income. It's a very simple example, but it's a very practical example that proves that each of us can do what we need to do to keep going in life, even if our whole heart doesn't feel like it at the moment. So we want to encourage you, if you don't feel affectionate, don't wait for the feelings to come back. Start making the choice to start putting your arms around your wife, your husband. Start initiating something to rebuild the affection. And you will find that as you do this and surrender to Christ, as He is helping you, as He is prompting you to take her hand or to put your arm around her, that He will rebuild and rekindle and keep those affections alive.
The kisses that you give me after every meal, that was your idea. And I can remember the first time you did that, I thought, wow, that's really neat. I felt really special, you know, to you. And it told me that you were thinking of me. But then it happened the next meal, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day at all the meals. And
Getting tired of it?
Not at all. Not at all. I don't ever get tired of your kisses. Sometimes I'm preoccupied and I think of something else I have to do or put on the table. And you usually grab me by the hand before I get out of the chair. Say, honey. And I always am willing to sit down and get my kiss.
Well, I'd like to grab you by the hand right now.
Okay.
We want to keep love alive. And we want you to be able to keep love alive. Because as you keep your love alive, you will have a marriage that's heart to heart. I think it'd be good to pray together for our love and their love. Shall we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Father in heaven, we come to you because you are the author of love. You are the author of marriage, and you are the one that can keep our love alive.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I thank you for the wife that you've given me to stand by my side, to be a helpmate. And Lord, I pray for every husband and wife that's listening, every young person that may be anticipating marriage, that they will choose to accept the love that you have for them, to begin to kindle the right love and keep love alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, next time we're going to talk about a very interesting subject, moral purity. We need it in the generation that we live in. Moral purity in a very degenerate age. I hope that you'll join us next time. Because if we want to have a marriage that's truly heart-to-heart with the one God has given us, and truly heart-to-heart with the one who has given us everything, our Heavenly Father, then moral purity is a very important and degenerating part of society that needs to be rebuilt. So join us next time as we talk about moral purity for a marriage heart-to-heart.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.